With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop here at home, talking with Steve Blanco right now from Imperial Triumphant. Killer new album, Alphaville, released last week on Century Media, their first album on Century Media. Certainly not their first album, though. They've been hard at work. They've actually been through Seattle on tour at the Highline a couple years back. First off, congratulations on the new record.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, man. How are you doing right now? Weird, unprecedented times. How have you been staying busy, staying sane during the pandemic and all that?
Yeah, well, I mean, keeping busy is definitely a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a good thing for all of us to try to do during this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was actually not in town. I split right before the lockdown happened here in New York.
Okay.
So I went down to hang out at my mom's house. And so I've actually just been back here just about 3 weeks now.
Where were you down, down south?
I was actually in Sarasota on the Gulf Coast in Florida. Yeah.
Okay. Was that nice to be able to get away from? Obviously Seattle was hit pretty hard, but New York City was like the epicenter at the beginning. That must have been nice to kind of get away from that and to, you know, have a little bit more space down in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. I was chatting with a friend of mine in Torino, and he was kind of like telling me what was going on because it was happening over there earlier than here.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about the lockdown that they did in Torino, in his city. And I just thought, they're probably going to do the same thing here in New York. I just wanted to have a little bit more personal liberty. So, you know, being down there, it's a little more spacious and it's you can be a little freer, you know?
Absolutely, man. And you now you're back in New York City. Are you in Brooklyn? Is that right?
I'm actually in Queens.
Okay. All right. So did you grow up in the New York area?
I did.
Cool, man. So let's talk a little bit about that, if you don't mind. Like what was that like growing up in New York City as far as like, you know, your inspirations for like music and stuff? Were you at an early age, were you kind of shown the ropes in like punk, hardcore, metal, underground music?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, one of the cool things about growing up in a place like New York is that every kind of music and every artist at least comes through here.
Yeah.
You know? So you have a lot of opportunity when you're young to just go to shows and, you know, you discover some band that's not super famous and then you have a good chance that you'll be able to catch them live here.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So of course that's very cool. And then, the intensity of the scene, you know, I've played a lot of jazz, over the years too here. And
yeah.
Then, you know, that scene is pretty intense here. And yeah, I mean, something cool in that aspect to get exposure to a lot of different kinds of music.
Nice, man. I would imagine, and it's not like Seattle's, you know, any slouch or anything, but I'd imagine growing up in New York City, just having the city at your fingertips has got to be a pretty cool experience. So obviously, you know, I'm someone who pays a lot of attention to, you know, music reviews, music, stuff like that, because, you know, I'm on the media side of things. You guys have gotten a ton of good feedback. I'm going to wait for that just a second.
That's New York, man.
Like I said, I pay a lot of attention to like reviews and what's new and all that stuff and feedback, because I'm on the media side of things. You being an artist, you guys have gotten a ton of good feedback. How much attention do you pay to that? And, you know, is it something that you try to keep away from, or do you see all of it and take it in? What's your feelings on like, you know, reviews and whatnot?
I think the three of us sort of have different levels or thresholds for taking all that stuff in, you know, but we generally pay attention. I try to, you know, stay up to date with, you know, the reception of the album and like what fans are thinking or things that they're saying. But it doesn't really affect the creative process or, you know, what we're doing.
Yeah.
In that sense, you know, but the reception for Alphaville has been so strong that it's definitely been pretty fun, you know, to check out the feedback, you know,
a lot of
positive feedback.
Absolutely, man. A ton of positive feedback. You guys have gotten just like rave reviews. You guys were the cover of Decibel magazine, which, I mean, that's pretty fucking huge for an underground metal band, especially like kind of a left of center odd metal band, I'd say. You're not like a, you know, a Four on the Floor kind of, you know, groove metal band. You guys are pretty out there, which is rad.
But thanks, man.
On a normal timeline, you know, I'm imagining that you would be using this momentum and going on tour, probably be over in Europe for the summer doing a bunch of festivals. Not being able to do that, how are you able to like capitalize on the record? Are you just doing a lot more press? Do you guys doing streams, or like how are you guys kind of navigating the new way of promoting your albums?
Well, we've actually just been working our asses off behind the scenes, regardless of the situation. You know, like we pumped out three videos for three song releases.
That's awesome.
And delivered them to Century Media, even though they weren't originally as planned. You know, like we had one that was this really cool animation, and then a couple other ones that were found footage, you know, like archival footage and stuff put together. And so, you know, doing that to keep the, to keep delivering the product, so to speak, you know. We've been handling tons of interviews and all the press stuff, doing that. We've been planning things for future. Right now, we actually just wrapped shooting an official music video that got postponed, that we were supposed to shoot right like the day of that the lockdown happened, actually.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So we have that going on. We've been you know, getting ideas together for new material. You know, we're constantly in contact with each other during the lockdown. And yeah, just, you know, just keeping the business side of things moving, you know, because we can't tour. We were actually supposed to be in Europe right now.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to be, you know, we were supposed to be on like a 4 or 5 week tour in Europe right now. And that got, you know, that got canned. So that's, you know, the live music thing is a huge drag, you know, no matter what's going on, that's just a big bummer.
But we can only, you know, control so much, you know, and it's good that you guys are, you know, kind of being the like masters of the domain that you can control. Obviously, you know, we're out of control, out of a lot of that stuff's out of our hands. So it's good that you guys are doing your thing. And, you know, like I said, kind of just mastering what you can control, which is awesome.
Yeah, exactly. You just got to navigate this thing as best you can, you know, and we do have some cool stuff planned. So there are things in the works.
Well, we will definitely stay updated with that and follow along with Imperial Triumph. And just got a few more questions for you guys. So in my opinion, you guys are pretty hard to pinpoint. You can't really, you know, classify you guys as something. You guys have often been called avant-garde metal. Whether or not, you know, you would agree with that or whatever, but going into the writing of the record, is that some, are you guys kind of just always trying to bring new stuff in? Are you guys trying to push things forward? And like, how do you go about like trying to keep things fresh and exciting? Or do you guys just kind of give yourself free rein to do whatever the fuck you want?
I would say it's a little bit of both. You know, we definitely like to keep a real open playing field as far as the creative process goes, because we're influenced by so much different kinds of music and different art. You know, like we're very influenced by great cinema and, you know, all kinds of creative things. So, you know, usually we just don't necessarily want to try too hard to make something a specific way for the sake of trying to be different, but rather just let things, you know, breathe and happen naturally and organically that are just based on the influences from the three of us and, you know, all the music we like and the way we play together too. And that's been evolving too. And that's a big part of, how the Alphaville is, you know, different from Bio Luxury, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, you could look at Bio Luxury sort of like as a springboard for them, what happened with Alphaville, but that's all part of us touring a ton together and playing a lot and, you know, just getting tighter as a trio, like as friends and as musicians, you know, so all that stuff together, man, is, I think that's a big way that we approach it, you know?
Well, you guys leveled up, certainly, you know, you leveled up as far as musicianship and playing together, and then you leveled up as far as like outreach with the band, with the label that you're on now, Century Media, able to get that in a lot more people's eardrums, and it's rad. So I'm stoked that you guys kind of leveled up in all different ways. Perfect to do at that time. Now, I had a question about, you know, I think that it's hard to stay inspired when a lot of days just kind of blend together. That me personally, like I get into a kind of, you know, just ho-hum. It's hard to stay inspired, right? So if you're having one of those days or one of those weeks, I was curious, what's like an album that you can reach to, you know, and just listen to? Is there any albums that kind of just get you going as far as like artistically and inspire you?
You know, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I mean, it is definitely hard to, like, you know, to keep the inspiration rolling through a global disruption, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it's not even, I go through phases, like musical phases where I'll just be like, you know, I'll just crush like Cannibal Corpse records for like 2 months straight,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Or I might just get into some, you know, some old jazz records, like Miles Davis, Nefertiti. I might just get into that for a while. Or there's some music going on right behind me right now, actually, just driving by. You know?
Okay, yeah.
No, but you know, there it's usually different phases that I get into. And the truth is, I haven't been listening to that much music during this thing. You know, okay. I've just been working more.
All right. Fair enough, man.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just different cycles.
So you mentioned jazz, and you guys obviously have a lot of jazz elements in your band, and we're a metal show. So I'm not afraid to say I don't have that much jazz in my collection. I have some, but speaking to a metalhead that's ignorant on this, and speaking to a metalhead audience that might not be exposed to much jazz, but I know that there's a world of music out there that I would love to know where to start at. What's a record or a couple records that you think, you know, a metal audience would just like love?
Well, I think a couple good records to start off with is actually one of the band's personal favorites, his album called Money Jungle, which is features Duke Ellington, Charles Mingus, and Max Roach. So it's a trio of leaders. It's a stellar album. I think it was recorded, I want to say in 1960, I think. I can't remember the year offhand.
Okay.
That's a great album. And then maybe something a little bit you get like into the 70s going, where, you know, the genre mixing and melding started happening with like something like Miles Davis's Bitches Brew, which mm-hmm. is a pretty famous record, you know. I think those are two great starting points. Obviously, it's a huge world yeah. of music. It's a huge world of music, you know. And if someone is so inclined to get bitten by the jazz bug and go down that rabbit hole, they're going to be in there for a while.
Nice, dude. Well, that's cool. Yeah. It's nice to kind of, you know, tiptoe into a little genre and then just be blown away. You know, I did that first when I was originally into punk rock and hardcore music when I was a kid, and then I got into more like metal, and it's cool to just have this world of music to jump into, and now, you know, there's such vast resources for being able to just find music, and we have so much music just at our fingertips, which is kind of overwhelming at times.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it's kind of good and bad, right? You know,
there was something to be said about having like 10 CDs and knowing every single like thing about it, but now
oh, absolutely, man, totally.
Man. So, my last question for you, man, is, if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
All right. I got a scar on my thumb mm-hmm. that's a good question, actually. Thank I got you. A scar on my thumb when I was like 14, I was working at this deli.
Okay.
It was like my first job
yeah.
after like delivering newspapers, mm-hmm. you know? And I was slicing a bagel for a customer with one of those really long serrated bread knives.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. right? And I sliced into the flesh of my thumb all the way down to the bone. I actually felt the teeth of the serrated knife zip the bone.
Oh my God. Jesus.
And yeah. And then the next thing I knew, there was just blood all over the place. And I think I ran to like a CVS. I never got stitches or anything. So the scar's kind of beefy, but
brutal. I'm glad it didn't affect like your playing an instrument.
But yeah, seriously, man. It's like, you know, lucky.
That's crazy. Did you finish your shift or did you just go home after?
You know, I can't even remember, man, but
shock. You went into shock.
I feel like I probably went home, but who the hell knows, man? Back then, man, who knows?
And the person's like, yo, I still want my bagel. What the hell?
I remember looking at the blood on the customer's bagel. I was just like, there's blood on the bagel.
Right?
That's f***ed. Yeah.
Damn. All right, man. Well, this is Steve Blanco from the band Imperial Triumphant. The new album Alphaville is available now. You can pick it up Century Media, whether you stream it or you purchase it, a physical copy. Just check out the record, man. I think you'll dig it. Getting a lot of great reviews. So, you know, next time, when shows open up and we can see you guys, I'm sure you guys would come to the Northwest. Do you have any final words for us here in Seattle in the Northwest?
Well, all I can say is I hope you all are hanging tight up there. I love the Northwest,
yeah.
And we definitely can't wait to get back to Seattle. We had a really nice show there last time, and I played some other shows there. And
nice.
Seattle's a great city to play music in.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.